Well, I've shared before that there are so many times in the life of Jesus that I wish I had the ability to time travel and go back in time and to witness them taking place. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I would love to be present and see Jesus walk on water. I would love to see in that moment. I would love that scene with blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus asks him the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus replies, "Rabbi, I want to see." I would love to be able to be present to see that take place. I'd love the opportunity to peek over the well wall during the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well, and to see the compassion that he demonstrated toward her and how that conversation unfolded. To be part of that group that was in the Pharisee's home when Mary Magdalene came and wept at Jesus' feet and used her hair to dry his feet. What must that experience have been like, and to see the tenderness that Jesus demonstrated to her? Or how about this one? To be present in that crowd and to hear Jesus say, "Lazarus, come out!" And he came walking out of the tomb. But the trial, the beating, and the crucifixion of Jesus? No thanks. When I was at my last church, our staff team was invited to a private pre-release viewing of the movie The Passion of the Christ. And I can tell you that I wept through most of that movie. A few weeks later, I took my youth group to it, and I've never watched that whole movie since, even though I think it's a powerful tool for us to understand what Jesus went through. It was so brutal in what I think was probably a realistic portrayal of what Jesus went through. And while I know the suffering of Jesus is central to the gospel, I can tell you that I have no wish to have seen it. I think I would kind of liken it almost to, like, who would want to watch a video of a loved one when they were killed? I mean, nobody would want to do that, right? You wouldn't want to see that video. You wouldn't want to live that moment. Jesus' crucifixion, it was brutal. He was beaten and he was lashed. We don't know for sure how many lashes that Jesus received, but it was probably 39. It was actually a law in place that governments under the authority of the Roman Empire, no punishment could exceed 40 lashes. It was a Roman law, and Romans were meticulous at following the law. And so most oftentimes, people who were punished that way would receive 39 lashes just in case they somehow had miscounted because they didn't want to break the law. And Jesus was so weakened from the beating and the lashings that he received that he was incapable of carrying his own cross to Golgotha. Now keep in mind, this was a young, strong, 33-year-old man who had spent most of his life working hard as a carpenter. And of course, there was the actual crucifixion itself, Jesus nailed to the cross and then placed hanging upright. And I really always thought that the brutality that day was indescribable until I saw that movie, The Passion, and then there it was, right? Laid out in all its raw cruelty. Of course, all four Gospels record the crucifixion of Jesus, and while each one tells the central story in the same way, there are variations in the accounts that the authors from each Gospel share about what took place on Good Friday, based upon what I would expect were the moments that were most impactful to them. This week I was reading all of those accounts just for one of my quiet times, and there were a few parts of the narrative that caught my heart, I think in a fresh way. I've certainly noticed them before, but there were these moments that Jesus had while he hung in all of the brutality of the cross that were really moments of such tenderness in the midst of such cruelty. They really caught my attention. I want to talk about a couple of those here for the next few minutes. And the first one is the tenderness of compassion. Listen to what John writes in John chapter 19. He says, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. We know from other accounts in the Gospels that the disciple that was talking about himself in this account. John was describing an interaction that he had with Jesus while he was at the cross. I suppose some of the mothers in here maybe have spent some time reflecting on this thought, but how hard must it have been for Mary to watch Jesus on the cross? To see her son tortured, executed. And yet in the midst of his suffering on the cross, Jesus demonstrates compassion in the midst of such pain. He essentially asked John to adopt Mary as his mother. And to see that she's cared for, it's really a tender moment between son, mother, and best friend. Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, had died, and as the eldest in the family, Jesus was responsible for the care and the well-being of his mother. And while the Jewish religious leaders and the Roman officials and the soldiers were demonstrating such brutality and viciousness, Jesus is able to show compassion for his mother while he's suffering on the cross. I really believe, folks, that this is such a powerful window into the heart of God that goes way beyond the love of a son for a mother. Because if Jesus can demonstrate such compassion and concern for his mother while suffering on the cross, he can certainly show the same compassion and concern for you and for me in our lives today. You know that when life gets rocky, Jesus cares. He showed that on the cross. Listen to his words in Matthew 11. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest." And then in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, "And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And then Matthew records in Matthew 14, "Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." All different instances in the Bible where we are clearly taught that Jesus is a person of compassion, that he cares for the needs of people, and he even demonstrated that on the cross. You know, there are six other times in the Gospels where Jesus either talked about compassion or that it's recorded that he was moved to compassion. You know, if Jesus can demonstrate such compassion while suffering on the cross, how much more can he while he sits on his heavenly throne, right? If you're suffering, when you're walking a difficult road, when you're facing a challenge in life, he knows, he cares, and he's with you. The tenderness of his compassion while he was on the cross. Here's the next one. The tenderness of forgiveness. In Luke 23, Luke records that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." You know, probably most of us have had times in our lives where it's been hard to forgive someone for something they've done to us. And I think we all understand that forgiveness is a choice. But it's complicated sometimes because there's emotions involved in forgiveness. There are feelings that are involved in forgiveness. And of course, the more deeply we are wounded, the harder it is to forgive, right? I mean, that just makes sense. Yet here is Jesus, nailed to the cross, asking his heavenly Father to forgive those who are falsely accusing him, who are mocking him, who are beating him, and are in fact killing him. I don't want us to miss the tenderness of forgiveness from the Savior. Remember when he told his disciples what his mission was? It's recorded in Luke chapter 19. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." And those who were mocking him, those who had beaten him, those who were crucifying him, and those who would kill him, and those who had falsely accused him, were people that were lost. And he had come to seek and to save them too. God's love for people perfectly demonstrated right there on the cross. Don't miss the tenderness of forgiveness from our Savior. Don't miss that. Do you know what the tenderness of forgiveness on the cross really demonstrated? This is what I think. No sin is beyond God's forgiveness if we seek forgiveness from Him. No sin. If those who were killing Him and mocking Him were not beyond redemption, then no one is, right? No one is. I don't care what you've done in your life, what wrongs you have committed. Hear this clearly. There is forgiveness at the cross. In just a bit, we're going to observe communion together. Remember Jesus' words at the Last Supper to his disciples? It says, "And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, 'Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many.'" Don't be afraid to ask Jesus for forgiveness. Ever. And then lastly, I think we see the tenderness for new life. Listen to what Luke records in Luke 23. He says, "Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, 'So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it.' But the other criminal protested, 'Don't you fear God, even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus replied, 'I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" You know, there's something that I find really compelling in this moment. And it's this. There is obviously more to this story than what we're privy to. This criminal, and the other Gospels, they actually use the word that's translated as rebel. So perhaps he was being executed for crimes against the Roman government. We really don't know. But this guy had spent time around Jesus. He had to have, because he knew enough to know that Jesus had done nothing wrong, and he knew enough to ask to enter into his kingdom. Now, beyond these observations, we can only guess at what that interaction with Jesus before this moment was. But this rebel knew who he was speaking to. And in this moment of his greatest pain, Jesus leads yet another person into the kingdom of heaven on his deathbed. It's incredible. And the reality for you and me in the world is the tenderness that we find in this moment of bringing new life to this rebel means that even a rebel like me can find new life, right? Jesus' friend John includes a lengthy prayer by Jesus just moments before his arrest. And Jesus begins his prayer this way in John chapter 17. It says, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I think one of the things that I rediscovered this week in my study is that in the midst of the brutality of the cross, we experience the tenderness of a Savior. And so even in the cruelty, if we're really looking, if we're really looking, we can find great beauty. Because of the tenderness of the cross, you and I, we can experience new life too. Even on the cross. Maybe a better way to say it would be especially on the cross. Jesus is so beautiful.
So